have to come to gather ourselves together and we learn of God. We learn that He wants us to praise Him, to glorify Him, and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. I thank God I have a church, and we lift our hands today. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord. God, we thank You for this time that we have here together. Mighty God, I pray that You'll bless the remainder of this service, Lord. That You will touch each one, Lord, out before me, Lord, today. God, they came for one reason, God, because, Lord, they want to draw closer to You. And, Lord, that they know Your coming is nigh, even at hand. Hallelujah. Let's praise God today. Let's give Him a hand clap on His praise. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's take a moment and pray for the needs of the individuals up here, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, for Sister Doris Atkins, Lord, and Brother Caulfield for the surgery, Lord, and the recovery process, Lord. I pray for Brother Day, Lord, you'd meet him right where he is, Lord, in his house, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. May he feel your presence just like he did, Lord, when he comes through these doors in Jesus' name, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for being all in the present, God, Lord. You're able to minister him to him there as well in his
this home in Jesus' name, Lord. For Jocelyn Sierra, Lord, we pray for healing for her, Lord. And for Sean Feversham, Lord, you know every need and situation in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. If anybody has a need with an uplifted hand, you can raise it at this time. Lord knows your need. He's here to meet your need. And I got thinking a few minutes ago, God wants us to pray for the lost, our lost loved ones, the ones that are in the jar, the ones that maybe not be here physically in body, and to pray for that wall to be removed between them to where they are, to where God wants them to be.
Right.
And there is a scriptural example of God removing walls. So this is for the intercessors in the house of the Lord this morning, the ones that aren't ashamed and afraid to cry out to God right now. The ones that are able to lift their voice and shout unto God with a voice of triumph, to shout unto God with a voice to cause these walls to come down. I've seen it happen before in the house of God, where when we began to raise our voice, that before the service was over, right in the middle of the service, a lost loved one came right through the doors. God is able to do a quick work in our lives. He's still able to do a quick work wherever that person is. Wherever they may be on their way to church right now. We don't know that. They may be on their knees right now at the moment that we shout out to God with a voice of triumph. God, you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, Lord. Your power is in us. You have filled us with your spirit, Lord. You've anointed us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. There is power in prayer. There is power in your name. Hallelujah. There is power. There is power when we cry out to you, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have a need in your body, physically, emotionally, mentally, if you have a need financially, we invite you to come forward. We will pray with you right now. God is here. He is alive. He is moving this place. Let's continue to worship and feel like the Lord at this time.
Powerful name.
going to sing this one more time. What a beautiful name it is. But just think of that beautiful name of Jesus. It's a beautiful name. It's a wonderful name. It's a powerful name. Let's sing that just one more time. What a beautiful name.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a beautiful name it is. Beautiful name is the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing comes in. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Amen. God, we thank you, Lord, for that beautiful name. That saving name, the perfect name of Jesus. We thank you, God. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's peace in the name of Jesus. There's hope in the name of Jesus. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's no rival, there's no equal. We need to make up in our mind that there is no rival, that he is not in a tug-of-war battle, that he is not outnumbered, he's not overwhelmed, he has no rival, there's nobody like him, there's no equal to the name of Jesus. Thankful for the name of Jesus. Thankful that we get to come together freely. We get to make the choice, even though it may be cold, even though it's not a perfect, ideal weather and temperature, you still get to choose to come to a place to experience the presence of the Almighty God. We are blessed. A few announcements as our ushers get ready for today's tithe and offering. There will not be prayer tonight. We will not have prayer. We'll resume next week. This Wednesday, we will have worship in the Word at 7 p.m. Immediately following service, there is a department head meeting. And so if you are connected to that, please make your way downstairs. We do have a very special day. We will not get together and gather for this Tuesday night, but we do want to recognize it. Tuesday night is Brother Jay's birthday. So we won't get together, unfortunately, but you can come Wednesday and celebrate. He wears a size medium or maybe a large. I don't talk to Sister Darlene. He likes gift cards, I'm sure. We are excited and thankful. Also, he's not here today, but it was Eddie Dean's birthday 2 weeks ago, and I missed that. And we will recognize Eddie Dean when he's here. I know that he's been out. So, also have an announcement. There is a blood drive at the Sandwich VFW on Main Street on Saturday, February 29th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. If you have any questions about this, see Sister Jane, and she'll be able to clue you in on any questions that you may have. So as we get prepared for today's tithe and offering, we did this last week. So if you weren't here last week, then welcome. If you were here last week, then you should know what we're about to do. That we're going to put on the screen a declaration, a prayer, a promise. Not really sure what to call it. Maybe a declaration, but this is just something that I feel that we as a church need to declare together, that God is a God over our finances. That when we give, it's not just throwing money away. It's not just taking money out of our pocket. It's returning back to God what he has blessed us with. And so we are going to say this together as a congregation. Repeat it with me. Upon the authority of your word, I have given and it shall be given unto me. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I am a tither, and I bring my offerings to the house of the Lord. I bring them today into the storehouse. Therefore, the enemy is rebuked, the curse is broken, and I live under an open heaven. We receive jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, sales and commissions, benefits and settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, bills paid off, debts demolished, and royalties received. I and my whole family am blessed and walking in the favor of God. I have health in abundance, and I am blessed coming in and going out in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give unto the Lord this morning.
Believe you're my portion. I believe. Jesus, you're all I need.
Amen. Brother Tom mentioned it and had prayer for a moment for our lost loved ones, but I want to again have a special moment of prayer for those that are not here, that should be here, that will be here by the grace of God. So why don't we, as we do that, why don't just a couple around, just gather around Brother Alan, Sister Christy. There's a special need, and we just need God to reach into that situation. We just need God to work. That's the long and short of it. That's all we need to know. We need God to work. So let's lift up the Fredricksons, and let's lift up each and every need and each and every name that God knows and God hears. In the name of Jesus, touch right now, I pray, God, as the body of Christ, God, that we would come together, Lord, that we would lift up a brother, lift up a sister, Jesus. Only you know exactly what is going on. Only you know what is taking place. I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would minister and you could work only how you can work, God. Speak to that situation. Touch Sean right now. I pray that you would send your angels there. God, let your presence be felt wherever he's at. God, he needs a touch of the Holy Ghost. Encourage Al. Encourage Christy. God, touch each and every other family, every other name in this jar. God, we believe, we hold on to the fact that you are still God, that you are still writing stories, that you're not done yet, you're not finished yet. God, you're still working, you're still moving. God, reach, touch, draw, whatever you need to do, let it be accomplished in this place. In this place. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. We just need God to do what God can do. That's only God knows, only God works, only God. We pray the prayers, we believe in faith, and then we trust God to take it from there. We believe that he knows what he's doing. Amen. We have been talking about the body of Christ in unity the last couple of Wednesday nights, and the body of Christ lifts each other up when there's a need. That's what we're called to do. That's why we are here. And I appreciate and thank you for doing that. We also, I mentioned this past Wednesday night, we celebrate. We are there. Paul talks in Corinthians 12 about you. When there's sorrow, you are sorrowful, but when there's excitement, you are happy with the body of Christ. And so we do have a special announcement that maybe some of you already know, but Sister Allie has been praying for a new job, has been trying to get a new job for months, and her schedule has been chaotic, and it's been difficult, and she's missed church and had to work holidays, but God has blessed her with a new job that she starts on Tuesday, and she won't have to work weekends, she won't have to work holidays, she gets to work in a school and gets to work school hours and have summers off, and it is a blessing from God, and we celebrate that with Allie. We are excited for what God did in Allie's life. Amen. 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 We can turn our attention to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 9. It says, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Then Paul goes on to say, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all." But then he goes on to say, "Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." I want to speak for a few moments today. But by the grace of God. Where would I be but by the grace of God? Where would I have ended up but by the grace of God? Where would I be without the grace of God? I am so thankful that he gave us this gift of grace today, so that we could come into a place and experience his presence. Why don't we just put our Bibles down? Let's lift up our hands and let's ask God to finish what he started from the very first service today Let's just ask him to accomplish his will in the name of Jesus. God, you've been in this service. You've flowed. You've worked. Now, God, I pray that there would be a climax of your word, Jesus, that you would move in this place. Let your presence be felt here. God, let there be a move of the Holy Ghost. Challenge us. Draw us closer to you. God, let us be readily aware of your grace. God, let us be thankful. Have a thankful mindset for what you've blessed us with and what you've given us today. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you've spent any time in your life in church, you've heard of Paul. If you've spent any time in this church over the last couple of months, I'm sure you've heard me refer to Paul. I enjoy reading Paul's epistles. I enjoy the story of Paul. I enjoy just discovering the depth and the knowledge of that he had, that God used him to speak on. He was very instrumental in the New Testament church, writing 13 books in the New Testament. But if all you know, if your only image of Paul is of a passionate author that was used by God, then you're overlooking the true story of Paul. Most of us in here, probably all of us would say, we know that Paul's first name was not actually Paul. His name that he was given was Saul. He was Saul of Tarsus. And the first introduction of Paul comes from Luke in the book of Acts. And he introduces him in a story of the stoning of Stephen. He's the first Christian martyr, the first one to be killed for the cause of Christ. And this is how Luke introduces Saul. In Acts 7, verse 57, it says, "Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city, and stoned him. The witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.'" If you think about the Bible as more than just Scripture, more than just what we hold on to as our way to salvation, but think of when this was being written, what it meant then. See, at the time, the Scripture was the Torah. The Scripture was the Old Testament. The Scripture was the prophets. But these men did not believe. I don't believe Luke thought he was writing the book of Acts. He wasn't, when he put this down, he wasn't saying this is going to be Scripture. When Paul was penning letters to the Corinthian church, he wasn't saying one day this is going to be a book of the Bible called the First Corinthians. He was writing a letter intentionally to the church for a purpose. And so when we look at this through the veil of what Luke was doing when he's writing, it's almost just a footnote. This stoning is taking place, and oh yeah, there's a guy named Saul that was there. He's the only guy mentioned other than Stephen in this story. He's just a man whose name was Saul. And he tells a story of this guy was the one that was gathering up the coats of the people that were throwing rocks, throwing stones at Stephen. I mean, he was very involved in this stoning. He was not an innocent bystander to the stoning of a Christian martyr. He was so invested, he said, "I'll take your coat. Here, let me take your coat so you can throw a stone better at this man to kill him." It wasn't like guys, maybe we shouldn't do this. I mean, Saul was invested in this. This is who he was. It is what he was raised in. It was his belief that this was the right thing to do. And so as we spend today talking about the grace of God, it is pertinent that we remember who Paul really was, who his family was, what his upbringing was. He was a persecutor of Christians. He explains when he writes his letter in the book of Galatians, he explains his start. He says in Galatians 1, verse 11, Galatians, not Galatians, Galatians 1, 11, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And I profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and he called me by his grace. He tells them in Galatia, he tells them that he is not preaching a gospel of man. That's how he starts it in verse 11. He tells them, these are not my ideas. His manly ideas were to persecute Christians. He thought in his mind he was doing right there, but he's telling them, this is not my gospel. I didn't get together and develop this. I didn't create this guy named Jesus Christ. The 12 disciples didn't fabricate Jesus and decide we're going to create a new religion and make it available to the Gentiles. This wasn't their plan. He's telling them that this is not my gospel, but it's the words of Jesus Christ. See, if I get up here and I give my gospel, a gospel of man, a gospel of Titus, it is not going to be a gospel that changes your life. Any words that I would speak that are my words would have no effect or ill effect upon your future. It would not change your tomorrow. It would not change your next week. It would not heal your family. It would not restore any situation if I speak of the gospel of Titus. But if I get up here and speak of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that gospel has the power to change. That gospel has the power to heal. That gospel has the power to restore. So Paul is saying, this is not me. This is not my gospel. I have no power. He goes on and says, the words that I'm teaching you were not revealed by me, but it was in fact revealed by Jesus Christ. It is Jesus' gospel. And it's important to note, we all know the story of Saul and his road to Damascus and what happens in Acts 9. When that light knocks Saul to the ground, he says, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. In that moment, just a few words, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, everything changed. A revelation took place that would change eternity. God waited for that particular moment to reveal to himself as Jesus Christ, as God and Jesus, the same to Paul. We would not be here today without that revelation of who Jesus was. If Sandwich were to get a revelation of who Jesus was, of who Jesus is, it would change their life. It would flip Sandwich upside down. If they could get a revelation of who Jesus is, he wasn't just a man we read stories about. He wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just a good guy. He wasn't just someone that 2,000 years ago walked the earth. He is still alive today. He is still here today. He is still offering peace today. He is still standing here today with his arms wide open, offering each and every one of you grace. He's still here today saying, yes, I know you messed up yesterday, but I have grace for you today. I am offering grace. He is still here. The passage that I'm reading from in Galatians in verse 13, he goes on to say, beyond measure I persecuted the church of God. I was exceedingly zealous in the traditions of my fathers. I was ingrained in this. I was with a purpose intentionally. I was devout. I was so devout that I would persecute Christians. I would imprison Christians. I was as far away from this revelation as I could be, is what he's saying. I was in the proverbial gutter. I was not only not following after Jesus Christ, I was attacking Jesus Christ. I was ripping him down. I was intentionally against the church. Some of us can relate to that. Maybe you didn't persecute others or imprison others, but before God offered you grace and before you came into this place, you were in a dark place. You were in a gutter. You were not only not for God, you were against God. But God came to you and he said, I'm offering grace to you. I'm offering forgiveness to you. I'm offering a way out of that. And God is still doing that today. God doesn't stop offering grace. There's nothing that you could do that would shut the door on God's grace. There's nothing that those that are around us, those that we work with, those that we commune with, nothing they could do would separate them from God's grace. And Paul continues, verse 15, he gets to his preaching point. And he says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. And the language, it's very important. We understand the language that Paul is using in the Greek here when he says, who separated me from my mother's womb. It is strong, graphic language in the Greek. What he's alluding to and the imagery that he's actually applying to this sentence, to coming out of what he believed and this revelation that he received, he likens it to a cesarean section birth. That's the verbiage. He separated me from my mother's womb. That's what he's saying in the Greek. He's saying that he separated me from my mother's womb. That term separated in the Greek is aphorizo, and it means to sever or to exclude or to remove or divide. And he's painting a picture of literally severing a child from the mother's womb, pulling out, dividing, removing. And that's the picture that he's painting. And he says it pleased God to pull Paul out of that. It pleased. Paul was so ingrained in that. He was so comfortable. It was like a baby in his mother's womb. It was the natural thing for him to be so involved in that. But it pleased God to sever that, to pull him out of that. Some of us were so ingrained in the world. People even today that are not here are so ingrained in the world that it has become like the mother's womb to them. It is so comfortable. But I believe that scripture that God gave to Paul would apply to us today, that nothing would please God more than to sever us from the world. Nothing would please God more than to rip us out, than to pull us away, than to get us outside of that world. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. That word separate is the same aphorizo. It's the same word in the Greek that Paul uses, because he's trying to be very clear that we are to be severed from the world. We are to be cut off. We are not to be like the world. We are not to identify with the world. We are not to blend in with the world. We are to be separate and divided, removed, set apart from the world. That is God's intention. And in the scripture, it continues on, being called by his grace. It is God's grace that separates us. It is God's grace that pulls us out. God's grace is desperately trying to separate you from some things. He's trying to separate you from sin. He's trying to separate you from stress. He's trying to separate you from fear, from worry, from whatever has you so overwhelmed. God says, I have grace to separate you from that. You don't have to live in that. It would please me. Nothing more would please God than to separate you from your worry, than to separate you from fear. And he can only do that. He does that. He accomplishes that with his grace. Each one of us should make that statement our credo. I probably say that every week, but I just love pulling scripture and making that my credo, because it's just so powerful. It's the word of God. If you're ever going to have a credo or something to live by the statements of the word of Jesus Christ. Don't live by don't live by your own. Live by what God says. And that should be our credo. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. See, we have to understand that us being here today is not a product of something that God saw in us. He did not see all the good deeds that you were going to do in your life and say, well, they're good. I better go to the cross for them because they're going to be so good. They're going to accomplish a lot and I better offer them grace. Look at all the good things they're going to do. In fact, it was the complete opposite reason why Jesus went to the cross. He saw the sin. He saw the shame. He saw the filth. He saw what you were going to get yourself into, and yet he still said, I'm going to go to the cross for them to offer them grace. You can never do enough to earn this grace that was given us. We will never earn grace. It is a gift from God. We receive grace not because of who we are, but because of who he is. 2 Corinthians, Paul writes in chapter 3, verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Don't think anything of yourself. You are not sufficient in yourself. You are not complete in yourself. You are only sufficient with God. God's grace is sufficient to keep you. God's grace is sufficient to restore you. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Life is all about our limitations. I don't know why, I just am smiley right now all of a sudden. I don't know why it is. I don't know. This, I just feel smiley. Whatever that word is. Life is all about limitations. This is a funny thing to be smiling about, for sure. I'm just smiley. It's just reading the word. I don't know. I just enjoy being here. God is very good. But by the grace of God. I mean, I don't know if that's what it is. I mean, genuinely, as I was reading that scripture, I don't even know if I read the right words. Hopefully you were following along and you read it on the screen, but I wasn't even thinking about the words I was reading. I was just honestly smiling and thinking about how cool this is. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Maybe that's just what it is. It just settled into my heart as I'm reading the verse. But by the grace of God, I am here. I should not, speaking not the rhetorical I and we, I should not be here. Titus should not be in this position. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God keeping me. Thank you, Jesus. But life is all about limitations, and it's all about how you respond to those limitations. Because none of us have enough money. None of us are good enough looking. None of us are smart enough. None of us are confident enough, have enough charisma. None of us have fill in the blank, because we all have limitations. That's how we were created. We are created with limitations, but how do we respond to those limitations? The waterway with no banks becomes a stagnant pond, but the waterway with narrowed, tight banks and limitations on it becomes a powerful river. The sail alone does not make the kite fly, but with a string attached to it, a limitation keeping it to the earth. It anchors it to the earth, but it enables it to soar. The acceptance of a limitation is necessary if you're going to endure. You have to accept you have limitations. Moses had a stutter. Gideon had fear. Samuel was too young. David had Goliath. Jesus had the cross. John was exiled to Patmos. Paul had his thorn. But in each case, not in spite of limitations, because of limitations, God moved. God moved through limitations. God wasn't hindered by limitations. He wasn't held back by limitations. And he wanted them to be there so he could work through those limitations. God is highly aware of your limitations. He gave them to you for a purpose, not so you'd be overwhelmed by them, but so he could work through them and work through your life. So he could use you for a purpose. We got to quit acting like our limitations are limitations to God. We have to quit telling God that my limitations will prevent me from reaching the lost. My inabilities will prevent me from reaching my family. We have to quit telling ourselves or telling God that I have to fix a few things first before you can use me. That's baloney. That's a lie. You don't have to fix anything. You have to let God use you. You have to let God overwhelm those limitations. You have to let God settle upon you and get through those limitations. In life, we have two choices: survive by your own strength
or thrive by God's grace? Are you going to choose to survive on your own? Or are you going to say, God, I am limited, I am weak, but in my weakness, your strength is made perfect. Your grace is sufficient. You can carry me. You can bring me through. Grace's only condition is that it only works when you're weak. That's when grace shows up in weakness. Grace and strength don't mix. They're oil and water. They cannot be used together. And if you want to act like you got it all together, if you want to act like you got strength, then good luck, because you're going to get an opportunity to find out if you do have the strength or not. But if you will choose to say, I am weak, I am imperfect, I need Jesus, then God's grace will show up every single time, and his strength will be made perfect in our weakness. I'm standing here today, more so than ever before, with these words ringing in my ear, these words in my heart, these words in my mind, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul, in that text we opened in verse 10, says, I labored more abundantly than thee. He's telling them, I worked harder than everyone else, but not by my work, but the grace of God that was with me. I did everything I could. I worked so hard, but it wasn't my work. It was the grace of God. Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You will never do enough to get to heaven. Your works won't get you there. Without God, you will never get there. You can't pray enough. You can't give enough. You can't come to church enough. Nothing you can do can save you. But God just comes sauntering in, just floating in. And he says, well, I have a gift that is more perfect than any other gift. I have a blessing that's more perfect than any other blessing. I have something that's more perfect than anything else you could imagine. I'm extending and offering you the gift of grace. Everything that you've ever done, every bad, every mistake, every sin, everything, just forget about it. I'll forget about it. I'm going to offer you grace. God is offering grace, and it isn't our works. It isn't our action. It isn't who we are. It's God's grace that saves us. I'm thankful for the grace of God. I'm thankful for the grace of God. I'm thankful for the grace of God. God, I thank you, Lord. Now, where would I be if it wasn't for your grace? Amen. Let's stand. It's such a blessing. Do you realize how blessed we are to know it is an equal playing field to being saved? We all are on the same level. Nothing else in life are we all on the same level. Maybe you were born with parents in church. That's a fair advantage to someone that wasn't born with parents in church. Maybe you were born with two parents. That's an advantage. Maybe you were born not homeless. That's an advantage. Maybe you're born with family that loved you. Maybe you're born in America versus outside of America. Maybe you're born whatever. Whatever situation, however you were born, you either were advantaged or disadvantaged in some way, shape, or form. It's none of us were born in an equal platform. We had different advantages or disadvantages. I was blessed to have the opportunity to be born with parents that loved the truth, that taught me the truth, that instilled in me. That is the advantage that I'll never, ever be able to repay. The blessing, I don't even mean to call it an advantage, just a blessing. But the most important facet in your life, eternal resting place, God says, I'm going to level the playing field. There's advantages and disadvantages throughout life. But for eternity, it doesn't matter who you are, what you've done. There's no advantage or disadvantage. There's just grace. There's only grace. It says, I'm offering you salvation through my grace, all through your faith, you are saved. Nothing you have done can ever separate us from the grace of God. It's why when Luke introduces Saul of Tarsus, he just tells us, he just places his name in the story of Stephen being stoned, Stephen being martyred. He does that, I believe, so intentionally, so that when Paul writes letters, when Paul tells us about the bad man that he was and all the bad that he did, we would have proof that was backed up by Luke, that it's not just words. He was there and he was present. He participated in the murder of a Christian saint. He shows us this picture so that when Paul writes, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am," how much more, I mean, how much weight does that carry? That Paul realized that it's all because of God's grace. The worst thing you could do for yourself, and I don't think that anybody's in this position, and I'm not trying to come down too dramatically as we close, but I do think the worst thing that you could do for yourself, for your family, and for your eternity is not to take advantage of this perfect gift that is being offered to you today. The very worst thing you could do is to walk out of here thinking, "I've done too many things wrong, I have too many limitations, and I'm not good enough." None of us are good enough. Brother Tom talked today, just he echoed what I'm talking about, but about God, Romans 3:23, he alluded to, "But all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God." We all are in this position. It is for the Jew first, then for the Gentile. It is for each and every one of us because, like Tom said, it is established. We all have sinned. We all are in the same playing field. None of us are perfect. We need God's grace. I would encourage you more so than any other thing, more so than even last week. It's important that you make the connection. It's important that you witness. It's important that you share that. That is good, but if you don't have it in your mind that I am going to heaven, that I have God's grace, I have received it, I have accepted, I am living rightly, that is the most important thing. I hope God help me to phrase this correctly, but how tragic would it be if you invited people to church, if you brought them to church, if you were responsible for 100 souls entering into heaven, and St. Peter at the gate asks you, "How'd you get here? Who invited you?" And you said, "Such and such, such and such." And they lined up and they said, "Oh, this guy invited me. He brought me. And then that you walk to the gate and they say, "Your name's not on the list." But you said, "But I invited so many people. I prayed. I did all these. I did my best. Look at the works." It's like, but he's saying, "But you didn't accept my grace through your faith. You didn't come to me. You didn't receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You weren't baptized. You didn't ask for forgiveness." What a tragedy. What an eternal tragedy that would be. It's not saved by works. It's saved by grace through faith. So as we close today, I'm going to ask us right where you're at, let's just all lift our hands and let's just begin to ask God for his grace. Maybe you need grace for what happened this week. Maybe you need grace for the attitude you had this morning. I don't know the situation you're in, but I would petition with you. I would urge you. I would encourage you with everything in you. If you need God's grace today, don't leave here without it. God, I pray right now, begin to touch. Jesus, begin to move in this place. God, pour out your grace. God, pour out your grace. God, let there be a drawing to you. Let there be a pulling to you. God, help us, Jesus. God, we need you right now. God, let us stand here and say, "I was a sinner, I was broken, I was ugly, but by the grace of God, I am standing here today." Where would I be without your grace? Where would I be without the grace of God today?
As we close today, I'm going to ask us to do one thing, and it says, saved by grace through faith, and I'm not going to ask us even to come to the altar, but I'm just going to ask by a sign of faith, just by the uplifting of a hand, how many need God to step into their life and to do something in their life today? Just as a sign of faith. There are needs here. There are needs here, and I want to make sure before we leave this place, we're going to go into a time of prayer one more time. But if you raised your hand, you know that you have a need. I believe that God is here to meet you today. God is here to work today. It is His will that every need be supplied. So if you lifted up your hand, I'm going to ask us, God, direct. One more time, if you have a need, just we're not going to invite you to come forward. Just raise your hand. If you raise your hand, look, or if your hand is not raised, won't you go around and find someone, and let's just gather together and let's spend the last few moments encouraging someone, praying with someone, praying that God would reach and God would touch. Won't you just connect with somebody all over this place? Come on. Come on. If you don't have a need, somebody else needs you to pray for them. Someone else needs you to come along beside them. Someone needs you to encourage them today. Come on, if God's blessed you and you're not in need of something, then pray for somebody else. Take their need, take their burden upon your shoulders and encourage somebody right now. In the name of Jesus, God, touch this church. God, touch this church. Oh, God. In the name of Jesus. God, you'd reach, Lord. Extend grace right now. Extend it all over this place. God, extend it here, Lord, so that you would minister and you would work and you would flow here. God, be present in this place. You are ever present in times of trouble. God, touch these needs. Oh, God, strengthen them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Continue to pray right now. Continue to encourage right now in the Holy Ghost. Oh, you don't know what they're facing. You don't know what they're fighting, but God has grace for them. God has grace that's reaching to them.
You see.
last time, 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. But yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Thank God for his grace. And as you leave this place, just think, you should be in a much worse place. You think it's bad now? Imagine no grace from God. You think you're in a rough spot now? You're in a pinch now? Imagine without God. Sister Sue Ann, I don't want to. I mean, I don't want to. I need God's grace. I'm thankful for the grace of God. As you're being dismissed today, one off-the-wall announcement. There are two water bottles that are on that back table, an orange one and a clear one. If they are yours, take them. If no one takes them and you want them, take them, wash them. If they are not taken by the end of the day today, Sister Darlene is going to pitch them. They are nice. Someone can have them, but they are have been left. So that's the special announcement. Offer somebody grace if they forgot it. If you know whose it is, take it to them. But you are dismissed today in Jesus' name.